So you've seen the title. I'm actually also at UNICEF now, and in New York. But this project was a UNICEF project, which was the evaluation was done by the Medical Research Council of South Africa, the School of Public Health, where I was located, and Save the Children. The background is the aim of it's an integrated health system strengthening program was to increase coverage and a package of high impact and low cost maternal and child interventions. The project was funded by the Canadian Department of Foreign Affairs, Trade and Development, formerly known as Canadian CETA. It was in, and I'll show you the six countries in a minute. The main mechanisms for increasing coverage was through a scale-up of an integrated community case management for children of diarrhea, malaria, and pneumonia by primarily community health workers. This is one of the community health workers actually in Malawi with his little office there. The evaluation methods were a mixed methods design, quantitative. We used household surveys, the district health surveys, demographic health surveys, and the UNICEF mix, as well as country-specific quality assurance community surveys to analyze coverage trends. So basically, you'd see if DHS and MICS kind of rotate across every few years. And so we basically put those together to look at changes in coverage trends across the countries, and whenever regions were available, we'd look at those. We also did qualitative work, which is basically we traveled to each of the countries and did key informant interviews, focus groups, as well as desk review of other things that were happening in those countries. We did some economic costing of, in particular, the ICCM program. And then modeling, we used the Live Save tool. How many of you have heard of Live Save tool? Not very many. Okay, a few. Basically, it was developed. I think at Hopkins, and you basically put in utilization levels and other kinds of things into the model, and then can predict. If you increase coverage of this, how many lives will you save? Assuming that this saves so many lives. So it uses data, predictive data based on research. It's a really interesting tool, a bit complicated. But just to look, so these are the six countries, Ghana, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Malawi, Mali, and Niger, where the projects were done. By UNICEF, funded by the Canadians. And you can see that there's some huge difference. Every country, implemented their own program based on what was happening there. And there were huge differences in the community health workers and both their basic level of education to become a community health worker, which was basically in Ghana was no required education, and they were primarily illiterate, up to in Malawi they had to have at least a grade 10, which was basically almost finishing secondary school. They also had the differences in length of basic training went from 5 days in Ghana up to your health extension workers in Ethiopia. This is a 12-month training. So the big difference is depending. In some places that the project went, the community health workers were existing, such as the HEWs in Ethiopia or the community health workers in Malawi were a long-standing group. And others, they were brand new, such as in Mozambique. It's a re-inauguration of a community health worker program that they were restarting. Also salary, and this is probably one of the biggest important differences, is it's completely voluntary in Ghana. So they're community health worker volunteers. But everyone else had paid cadres, and the most was in Malawi, was US$110 per month. There are big differences. And then also where they were based, whether they were based in, say, a health post, a village health clinic, or the community. So there were big differences across this. Basically, just so you know, integrated community case management, what we're doing is that these community health workers are diagnosing and treating basic diarrhea, pneumonia, and malaria. So that diarrhea, they'll give ORS and zinc. Pneumonia, they'll actually give amoxicillin or clotrimoxazole. And then for malaria, they'll give the ACT. So they actually, so instead of a child having to get to a nurse or a doctor at a facility, the community health worker can actually diagnose and treat uncomplicated pneumonia, diarrhea, and malaria, and then have protocols for referral. So this is a big thing, letting non-licensed health professionals give drugs. It's shown a lot of success in Asia, and these were some moving it to Africa. This is just a picture of one of our health posts with a community health worker there in the blue coat in Malawi. In Malawi, they're very professionalized. They're a very recognized cadre. This is his clinic, basically. And I think one thing that's interesting to see, they do a lot of things inside of community case management. All those papers up there are maps of his region, they keep track of like how many cases they have each month. They have graphs on their wall. They've got maps, their community maps, where every latrine, where every house, where everything is. So they're really quite professionalized compared to, say, Ghana, where they really are just community workers who aren't as professionalized and, you know, don't wear nice blue or white coats. Just starting to look at, so what were some of the results of these programs, particularly around the ICCM, is workload. And this was a huge difference, and when we come to cost, you'll see where it really makes a big difference. And so you can see that how many cases per month in the previous month did they treat. And a low in Ghana of just about one, up, and then in Ethiopia, for example, it was up to four cases per month. But so that it's not that high in these particular two places. In other places it was higher, but these were the ones where we had some special studies just to, that we could use just to look at utilization. One thing that was more important, especially if you know anything about pneumonia, care seeking for pneumonia is now the primary indicator for pneumonia. But care seeking for suspected pneumonia, diarrhea, and fever. So does the mother or caregiver bring the child? And where did they bring the child? And you can see that in Ethiopia, there's not much of a difference from before the program to after the program, but you'll also note that the program only started in 2010, and the measurement was in 2011. But if you look at, say, Malawi and Mozambique and Niger, you can see that there were no children being treated in the community before it started, and now it's up to 9% of kids are being treated in the community. And then also the increases in Mozambique, which was also very early in the program, and Niger. Malawi and Niger were the most mature of the programs. They had been running the longest when the evaluation was done. You start to see a thing of utilization as a driving thing. Another issue with community health workers, if you work with community health workers, has to do with supervision. And you can see that above 50%, how much time do I have? Above 50% were visited, supervised in the last 3 months, which meant they either had a supervisor come to them or they went into a clinic for supervision. But the one thing you need, because they are doing clinical case management, and they are, is to have the supervisors look and see how they're managing children, to actually, you know, observe them. And that was less than 50% pretty much in most places. And in Mozambique, that was actually we got the data from a telephone survey, so that wasn't particularly reliable. And in Niger, it was in the last 12 months, not in the last 3 months. Another thing that's very important for ICCM, obviously these are in very rural, distant areas, is maintaining supplies. Because if there's no supplies, then they can't treat kids even when it's brought to them, which then also makes the community not so trusting. Why should I go to them? They're not going to have anything to help me. You can see in most cases it wasn't too bad, except in Malawi, though Malawi was one of our most successful programs, if anybody knows about Malawi in 2011. Malawi had a major economic crisis, mostly related to the fact that there was some corruption and the donors completely pulled out of Malawi, so that a lot of the donors that were buying supplies had pulled out, and so that they had a severe crisis in their systems. And but interestingly, by the time we were there in 2013, in the last 6 months, they were experiencing fewer stockouts. But during the whole part of the program, there were still issues around stockouts. Looking at under-four mortality, going to under-five mortality, our previous speaker, you can see that in all cases it was decreasing. Not all of them are they're, however, on track for meeting the MDGs. Most of you probably know that that Malawi is the one country that is on track. In mortality. I think what's important, though, about this is that all of these countries were experiencing drops before the implementation of the Integrated Health System Strengthening Program and the ICCS, which only started this year. So, you know, those Canada would have loved to take credit. We couldn't give them credit for all of it. So, going to the list analysis. This is basically what we look at here is the proportion of deaths averted at the end line year. And you can see that it's, you know, ranges from 4 to 6% in Ethiopia to about 33% in Malawi. What you look at, there's a cumulative, but the last two columns are the most interesting. The top three interventions that save lives during the integrated IHSS program. And so you can see it's things like HIV vaccine, pneumonia case management, which would be directly part of the program. Water connection wouldn't be directly part of the program, but is important because you have to look at context as well. Anytime you see ITN ownership, ITNs, putting out ITNs was a big part of the program. Early on, getting out new vaccines like pneumococcal or HIV, as well as then AC treatment of malaria, ORS, so that, you know, the things that we were doing and bringing to communities, as opposed to people having to come, were the things that were contributing to continued reduction in child mortality during those periods. And then you can see that the proportion of deaths averted due to interventions supported by the IHSS, they're all pretty high, so that they were, the program was making a difference. Would the, mortality have continued to decline without the program? It's hard to say, but certainly what they were doing was probably assisting in some way to maintain that decline as opposed to having it level off. By then, you know, because the facilities at that point were working pretty well, and now you're trying to reach those really hard-to-reach communities to continue those reductions. The last thing is just cost. And so what does it cost? And you can see that really the big driver for cost is utilization, visits per week to the community health worker. You can see that in Ethiopia, despite the fact that the HEWs are a very established cadre, they still weren't having very high utilization. So they added, community case management to the HEWs, and they just weren't getting a lot of utilization. Whereas in Malawi, 15 visits per week for community case management. Niger, 15 cases per week. And you can see that it's very directly related to cost. So 1.44 is the cost per treatment, 3.3 in Niger, whereas you're talking in Ghana, 13.20. What's important there is to remember that Ghana, the community health workers aren't paid. There's no salary cost in there, but they're still the most expensive. So that, and whereas Malawi, which is your least expensive, they were the ones that were paid the most. And so really, everyone thinks of human resource costs as going to be huge, even with any one of these groups, you've got training costs, supervision costs, commodity costs, and then payment of the worker. But the fact is if you can get utilization up, then it's still a cost-efficient, even if you're paying the workers, which I think is a very important message for some place like Ghana, which is grappling with should we be paying community health workers or should we be putting our money into their next level of service, which is their community health nurses, community health officers. Where should they be putting their funding? So I think that was a really interesting piece. That's it. I was only 1 minute over, 2 minutes over. Okay, good. Time for questions?
You do.
Yeah. Okay.
A minute.
A minute. Okay, a minute for questions. So in the back there and then there.
I have two questions. First question is, how did you choose which countries to evaluate?
They were the countries that were part of the integrated health. They were the countries where they had been running the program.
Okay.
There was lots of other community case management projects going on at the time, actually, probably 15 or more countries. But these were the ones that were funded by the Canadian government, so they wanted their own external evaluation.
Mm-hmm. That you utilize and they aren't being paid. Do you know if
Right. Yeah, I think also the fact that they because they're not paid, I think there's not as much respect for. So you've also got to look at demand creation. There's not as they don't see them. Whereas in Malawi, they are seen with their nice blue coat and they're very established. They're seen as a provider, and so there's a lot of trust. I think there's a lot of issues. One of the main things we really need to go back and look in these countries, and I think particularly Ethiopia, where they are a trusted cadre, why people aren't using them. And so that more qualitative on work on demand creation and what keeps people from going or not going to providers, to these people is very important. Yeah, the next one, and then that'll be it, sorry.
So in the health world, mm-hmm. There are lots of pictures of the Malawi CHWs with all of their mobile mm-hmm. platform data. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the telehealth stuff is sort of actually coming in now. The only mHealth, eHealth that was running in these particular districts at the time, and that was only later in the project, was the, I'm forgetting the name of the system, but it's the commodity system, where they text their commodity when they need more antibiotics or more whatever. And so that then goes to the facility, which also then has an electronic system to get it to stores. And so that was the only electronic running in these districts at the time that we were running it. But you're right, throughout Malawi, all over Africa, the issue of mHealth and community health workers doing data collection is really a new thing. And the question is, can that help? It should help with data. I think what's more important to me is, can it help with supervision? Can we improve their supervision because supervisors can see what they're doing and communicate with them more effectively? Thank you.